Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
It's gone!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here, and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Tune in to Burns Postgame Show.
Cole Reagans dials up a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. He sets a new career high with 12 strikeouts.
Brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can too. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com.
Swing and a chopper left side. Garcia's got it with a dive. Spins, throws, in time!
This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's your Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
All right, here we go. After that dud of a game, let me give you the phone number right out of the gate, because I feel like if I talk too long without going to these phone calls, I'm just going to end up agitated. So here's the phone number. I hope you feel like talking about it after this one tonight. 10-3, Royals lose game one of the I-70 series to the Redbirds. All right, so here's our phone number. It's 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. I hope the fireworks were nice, because that ball game was brutal. So much momentum, so much excitement coming into this night, and maybe that's on me. See, this is what I don't want to do. I don't want to act as if things are dire. No, Seth Lugo's not pitching tomorrow. Yes, Cole Reagans left this game early again because of a growing tightness. Royals are still four games above 500. I'll take this over the alternative any day of the week. Let me say that. But man, I was so excited for today, and really still am for tomorrow and Sunday. Just so excited for this weekend not because of the 1985 championship team. I was excited for this weekend not because the Cardinals are in town and you were expecting a big crowd. I'm not excited that the 2015 boys are going to be here tomorrow. Nah, that doesn't really excite me. For the first time in forever, I was excited about this weekend set, this I-70 series. For the first time in a long time, I was excited about a weekend like this because the game is at the forefront. How many times have you and I met here at Kauffman Stadium to celebrate George and Frank and Willie and the boys, and everything else was kind of secondary? Just so cool to see the guys get back together, to remember when this organization was on top. How many times have you and I met up at Kauffman Stadium, and even though many of you detest the Cardinals and their fan base, you still kind of enjoyed being inside a packed Kauffman Stadium? I can't tell you how many weekends we had of this I-70 series where, boy, it was just fun to have energy and a raucous crowd and a packed K. But this weekend, with this team, after last season, this weekend is about the game. Did you win or did you lose? Because everything else is secondary. Everything else can be soured, sullied. Right, tomorrow's return of Moose and Haas and Holly and Wader and the rest. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, but if they don't win tomorrow, I don't really care. That's meant as no disrespect to those champions that helped turn this city from a woe is us, what's behind the corner. That 2015 team helped turn this city into a city of champions. So I mean no disrespect to those guys, and I'm very excited for them to have their moment in the sun, their 10-year anniversary tomorrow. But if the boys don't win tomorrow night, I don't think you're going to be calling up going, yeah, Vern, that was a tough loss, but boy, I had so much fun. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you did have the time of your life tonight watching Bud Black and Danny Jackson and Mark Gubazaw and those boys of summer from back in 1985. Maybe that was enough. Maybe seeing a little more than 28,000 turnout on this Fireworks Friday night, maybe that is your main takeaway. Maybe that's your top story from tonight. But to me, it's 10-3. To me, the top story is Reagan's no good. Location was bad and ultimately leaves with the groin injury. I'm not a doctor. I'm barely a radio host. But how about we get that taken care of? How about instead of just skipping a start, he finds himself on the IL? Reagan's wasn't good enough. Jonathan India making his, well, not his first start at second base of the season, but putting Michael Massey in left for the first time this season. Boy, Jonathan India was booting them left and right. That cost the team at least 4 runs. Could have been 5. So from pitching to the defense, and then, of course, the offense, 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. What a dud of a Friday night. Phone lines are open for you. See, this is what I don't want to do. I don't want to act as if the sky is falling, because it's not. Although I can't sit here and say what I would normally say to myself, and thankfully because of this microphone, say to all of you, I can't sit here and say, whew, but thank God he's pitching tomorrow. But thankfully, Seth Lugo's pitching tomorrow. Michael Wacha's pitching tomorrow. Chris Bubich is pitching tomorrow. None of it. I got a lot of love for Noah Cameron. We're all rooting for him tomorrow. But I can't give you that line of the best thing about this team is the next day's starting pitcher. The next day's starting pitcher is a 25-year-old with 1 game of big league action under his belt. All right, get to the phone calls, Vernier. Listen to your own advice. Let's go to Lath in Olathe. You're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Vern, baby Vern, thank you so much for taking my call, man. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Appreciate everything you do, keeping us level-headed here. I want to say, man, let's just keep some perspective. What happened tonight that can't be fixed, right? Reagan's injury, sure, skip a start. Hell, like you said, let him skip 3 starts. Get him right. Make sure he's right for September, October. Bat, nothing. Come around another night. We really think that we're going to score 2-3 runs a night every single night. I really don't think so, Vern. And you're right. Maybe the best thing might not be our pitcher tomorrow. It might not be Noah Cameron, but he did a hell of a job last time. So why not trust the kid?
I'd say, sure.
Why not trust him? He'll go out there. He's making his first start at Kauffman. Maybe he'll bring a little extra energy. Cardinals coming into town. Who knows? Who knows, man? But it's a long season. Let's not get lost in the day to day here in the minutia. Let's just keep things, like I said, let's keep things in perspective. Let's remember what we've got this weekend, what we're celebrating, the good old times. But let's not lose sight of the, we can look in the rear view a little bit and appreciate what's happened, but let's not lose sight of the future, man. We got a great team here. We got the best freaking baseball player and the whole MLB playing shortstop for us, man. We got one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. Come on, man. Let's get fired up. Come on. Let's not hang our heads here, man. Come on. Let's show up. We can still take this series, man. Appreciate you, Vern.
No doubt. Hey, I appreciate you. Lath, you have a red carpet the next time I see your name on the call sheet. Yeah, we're not making you wait on hold ever again. That's exactly what I needed. Now, you did it completely flip me. But, you know, Noah Cameron pitching at Kauffman Stadium for the first time. That's a great point. The St. Joseph kid pitching for his hometown team in front of friends and family and that 2015 ball club. How cool of a moment's that going to be for him? Right, Noah was, what, 15 in 2015? The Royals were his favorite team. So there's going to be a suite tomorrow loaded with his favorite team ever, the 2015 Kansas City Royals. And he'll be performing in front of them. Man, that gives me chills. Yeah, all right, Lath, way to go, man. And you're right about Bobby Witt Jr. Man, Nolan Arenado, did he put on a show at third base in this game? I mean, he robbed Bobby of an RBI double in the first inning. Bobby roped one 115 miles per hour right at the future Hall of Fame third baseman. And then Bobby's rung up on a slider that should have been ball four. That was a joke of a call in the third. Bobby then smokes another one in the fifth inning, 112 miles per hour for an infield single, and then rockets a leadoff triple, comes around to score in the eighth. Bobby Witt Jr., no doubt about it, is tonight's Guaranteed Foods Player of the Game. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can too. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com. Didn't even mention, Bobby also stole his 16th base of the season. That's the second most in Major League Baseball. Hey, let's stay in Olathe. Let's see if RJ can keep it going. RJ, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Vert, I'm going to bring you back down. Chris Stratton is awful. How does he keep pitching in the big leagues? He throws 90-mile-an-hour fastballs down the hopper and expects to get out. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. Thanks for the phone call, RJ. I should have left Olathe alone. Damn. Let's go to MJ in Belton. I had the pleasure of finally meeting MJ. What's happening, brother?
Oh, man. Awesome to meet you today. We did not like the results whatsoever. But I'm back with the first caller. We do have the future to look forward to. We cannot win every single game. But today, we did learn something very important. India does not belong at second base. It was too much.
Where do you put him then?
Too much.
I mean, that's the point I've been making all year, is he's a bad defender wherever you put him.
Right. And it's – I don't – maybe he just needs – maybe they need to sit him down for a couple of weeks and bring somebody up who – maybe that's not going to work, but they try to pepper him around. They put him in left field. Left field was okay-ish. They put him in third base.
He was bad. He's bad everywhere, and that he's bad everywhere, MJ, and that's why I think it's on the coaching staff to hide him. You know, for as much as they want consistency, and that was the message earlier today from Q, is you're going to see this defensive configuration more often moving forward of Michael at third, India at second, and Massey in left. I understand why, and the reason is, now Q didn't say this, this is me reading in between the lines, India's hitting, right? Since the calendar flipped to May, he has an on-base percentage better than his career average. His on-base percentage is .359 in the month of May. So if he's hitting, we're going to try and keep that bat hot, taking away that defensive versatility. So Massey, you're not hitting. You go run around out there in left field. Massey's the better left fielder, and unfortunately, Massey's also the better second baseman. But because he's not the best bat, he moves around, and India is going to be stationary for the time being.
Another thing that I want to touch on is I'm also concerned with our starting pitching, because it does seem like we've got two starters that are banged up, and it does look like they're trying to hide them a little bit, which is fine. But like you said, go ahead, put them on the injured reserve list. Like, let them take a little while off and get fully healed back up. Like your first caller said, we need them in September more than we need them right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I agree with that, no doubt.
Right, and so, and that kid who's pitching tomorrow, pardon me, I forgot his name.
Noah Cameron.
He looked great in his only start that he's had in the majors. Like you said, he's pitching in front of his hometown family, in his hometown stadium, for his hometown team, in front of his most favorite team he's ever witnessed, ever. Mm. And this kid might come out tomorrow throwing fireballs. I hope he does, because I'm going to be there to watch it.
Well, I'll see you then, MJ. Again, thanks for swinging by the booth, and thanks for taking the picture.
Yes, sir, man. Hey, thanks for your time. Love your show. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Now, listen, I'm not pounding on the desk saying, put him on the IL. This training staff, the doctors that the Royals have, you know, their medical staff, you know, I would never. I would never question, second guess, or inform them what to do. So no one cares about the long-term health and viability of Cole Reagans more than the Kansas City Royals. For as much as you and I love Cole Reagans and want nothing but the best for him, nobody cares more about the health and long-term viability of number 55 more so than the owner, the general manager, everyone in the front office, the entire training staff, and of course the coaching staff. And you saw that today. I don't think I've ever seen Matt Quatrero talk as much as he did on the mound. I've never seen him converse with the pitcher as much as he did there in the fifth inning when he went out to talk with Cole. I don't know exactly what he was saying, obviously covering up the mouth, but I'm pretty sure it's, bro, it's May 16th. We plan on you pitching in October, on October 16th. How about you get out of the game and protect yourself? And Reagans exits after a leadoff single in the sixth inning. So Reagans' final line is five innings of four-run baseball. He punched out seven, didn't walk a batter. Let's go to David in Kansas City. David, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Thank you, Josh. I've been kind of indisposed with catching up on things, so I'm not sure exactly who has contracts and who doesn't. And it seems to me that the decision to put in Schreiber was not the best today.
Well, it wasn't really a normal situation, right? I mean, Cole Reagans was starting the inning and then had to leave after five pitches because of injury.
Yeah. Well, I just have radio, so I don't know, you know, what happened there. But what they said was Salvi came out for a second. It looked like he might be able to stay in. But I was just wondering, wasn't there somebody else than Schreiber that we've got to go? Daniel Lynch pitches a few innings sometimes, and these games are all huge, you know. And I'm getting ready to go to St. Louis, so I'm saving up to do that. I live on mostly a Social Security income, so I'm getting ready to go there. I think, you know, I'm sure hoping we get two out of three here, and then, you know, see what happens there. That's not going to be that long. Of course, there's some big games in between there.
Yeah, we got a lot of them left. I appreciate the phone call. 116 games remain in this 2025 season. Let's go to Doug in Osawatomie. You're on 96.5 The Fan, Doug. Royals lose 10-3 in the opener of the I-70 series. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have two questions, if I can.
Sure.
I just wonder if Dennis Leonard or Brett Saberhagen, you know, from the 85 World Series teams out there and feel something in the leg, they're just going to pull them out of a game.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a different game, and I bet you Brett Saberhagen and Dennis Leonard wish they were being paid what Waka and Lugo and Reagans and the rest of these guys are being paid. It's a different game. It's a different financial investment. We're smarter, wiser, and they're going to take care of their investment a little bit better than they did back in the day. But yeah, if I'm Dennis Leonard and I'm logging 300 frames every single year, you know, I'm making 33, 40 starts every single season, turning in a dozen complete games. Yeah, but I'm sure Leo's been thinking that for about 15 years now, that these guys are all soft. And he's right to let them. Same with Brett Saberhagen, man. Dive into the numbers that Sabes was putting up. I mean, innings pitched wise. Look at the numbers that Sabes was putting up in, you know, as a 19, 20-year-old, as a 22-year-old, as a 25-year-old. You'll never see that again. You will never see a pitcher worked the way that, well, they were all worked that way back then, and they were all young back on that 85 team.
How old is Cole Reagans?
Yeah, no, again, I agree with the point. I'm just saying it's a, I mean, you understand that 2025 baseball is different than 40 years ago, right?
The human body's not.
Okay. All right, Doug. Yeah, again, man. So you don't understand why they don't, why nobody, not one of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball, have their pitchers throw 300 innings? You think it's a Royals thing or what?
I just don't know how things are so much different now and 20 years ago when all these pitchers were able to pitch so many more innings. And
well, let me ask you this, Doug. What are you calling me on right now? You're calling me on a cell phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a computer in your pocket. Yeah, a lot of things have changed in 40 years. The game has evolved as well.
Okay, but if I wasn't, I'd be on a phone because that worked.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know what? You make a fine point, Doug. I'm not going to convince you otherwise, and you've made your point. But you could call every other post-game show in Major League Baseball. Yeah, I don't know. If your belief is that general managers and performance science professionals, every one of them around Major League Baseball are all making the same mistake. Okay. Well, then one team you would think would say, hey, if we can cut a corner here, if we can win in the margins by working our pitchers into the ground, they would do it. You know, these GM jobs, managerial jobs, starting pitching jobs are not guaranteed. Now, there's only 30 of them. There's only 30 managers, 30 general managers. They would do whatever it takes to win.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course, Doug. Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
After he threw that pitch, did he look injured to you?
Did he look injured to me? I mean, his velocity was down. He was throwing 90-mile-per-hour fastballs, and for a guy that normally sits 96 to 98, that jumped out at me. And no, groin injuries don't normally stand out to the untrained eye up in the press box. At least I can't normally pinpoint a groin injury right away.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right, Doug, thanks for the phone call. We go to Mark in Blue Springs. Mark, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead. Oh, we lost Mark. I apologize. How about Will in Overland Park? Will, you're on 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, Vern. So it was a tough loss today, man. It really was. But still, I was at the game with a couple of my buddies. It was nice to get out. I want to know your thoughts on our bullpen right now.
Just a generic on the bullpen.
I think where do you think we're sitting right now? In our ERA, because it feels pretty inconsistent. I'd say Sometimes our bullpen is just off the charts, exceeding, and then sometimes it's just feel like it could should be doing more.
Yeah, well, that's baseball, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's baseball. The greatest bullpen I ever saw was that 2014 team, and even they weren't perfect. You know, you had a few perfect arms out there, but. You know, there were plenty of guys that you're pulling your hair out when they would walk out to the mound. As far as the statistics, if that's what you're looking for, I know coming into the day, the Royals relief corps had a pretty impressive ERA. Following tonight, the Royals bullpen, 3.34 ERA. That's seventh best in Major League Baseball. I think the bullpen's good because the rotation allows them to rest. But with the injury to Lugo and Cole Reagan's leaving after five, you know that's going to have a ripple effect on a bullpen that's still without Hunter Harvey. So, you know, I would expect that ERA to rise over the next few days and maybe weeks.
And how do you feel about Noah Cameron coming into pitch?
Excited for him. Yeah, I'm excited for him. Really interested to see what he does. I'm not expecting him to take a no-hitter into the seventh or the sixth.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I'm not even expecting him to take a no-hitter into the second inning. I'm hoping for the best for the young man.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, very nice hearing from you, Will. Thanks, man.
Have a great show.
Hey, I appreciate it, buddy. It opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7965. We've all seen pitchers in their big league debut carve up the opposition. We've all seen it. And then we've seen those pitchers exposed and out of the league in a year or two. But we've also seen those pitchers become stars for the next decade. Both possibilities are just that when it comes to Noah Cameron. You know, we're all hoping for the latter. Noah Cameron likely going opposite Miles Michaelis tomorrow. It's a 6:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5 o'clock. We'll take our first quick timeout and get back to your phone calls, and we'll head inside that Royals clubhouse following tonight's 10-3 loss to the Cardinals. More of your thoughts and more of their thoughts after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show, brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods, delivering all natural foods direct to families since 1958. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com. Make sure to subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast channel to stay up to date with your boys in blue. This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Here's the 2-0. And Vinny swings and belts it deep into right center field. The wind grabs it and splash. Into the fountains for a solo home run.
That's home run number 7 of the season. His team leading 7th home run of the year for Vinny Pasquantino. He gets ahead of the count 2-0. And got 94 in the middle and he destroyed it. 109 miles per hour off the bat. It travels 448 feet to the right center field fountain. The furthest home run of Vinny's career. That was tonight's MVP Air Conditioning Cool Play of the Game. It's brought to you by MVP Air Conditioning, Heating, Plumbing, and Electric. Get your AC ready for summer and running efficiently with a tune-up for only $39. Go to themvpkc.com or call 913-322-0868 today. MVP, one call does it all. Vinny's leadoff home run in the bottom of the fourth inning put the Royals on the board and made it a two-run game. 3-1 at the end of the fourth. Royals would tack on another in the fifth thanks to a Kyle Isbell triple. 3-2 Royals trail at the end of five, but in the sixth, Cole Reagans leaves after the first battery faces due to left growing tightness, and John Schreiber is thrown to the wolves, and, well, he got out of it, you know. Let's not forget, he got his inning-ending double play, and it was booted by his second baseman, Jonathan India. Because of that error, four runs come in to score that inning. That was an inning-ending double play. Listen, I understand that three of those four runs were still charged to Royals pitchers. But all four of those fall on the back of Jonathan India. So four runs come in to score in the sixth. India almost cost him another run in the seventh, but thankfully, Nolan Arenado's boner cost his Cardinals a run. If you don't know about Merkel's boner, some baseball history, go back and check that out. And then Chris Stratton gave up three runs in his two innings of work. Final score, Cardinals 10, Royals 3. Vinny's not only team-leading seventh home run, but his team-leading 26th RBI. Let's head inside the clubhouse. Let's hear what Vinny had to say after the game. He's speaking with the media. Our Kramer Sansone was there, and the conversation begins with Vinny talking about, well, Cole Reagan's leaving the game in the sixth, and if you notice, something was up a little earlier.
Definitely not last inning. And I hear a fastball in my ear, and you look up, and it's reading its changeups, and they're like 88, so kind of know something's going on. But up until then, no, thought it looked pretty sharp.
And, you know, Reagan's, you know, knocked out tonight, tomorrow, so Fluger's not pitching. How do you, you know, try and not add on to the pressure that's already on, you know, this offense right now?
Can't. Just have to approach every day as a new day. And just try to find a way to put up a crooked number any way you can. So I think in that aspect, you know, it's disappointing that, you know, Lugo can't make the start or whatever. But, you know, I know we got guys coming and we've got a lot of confidence in those guys. And yeah, like you said, like we just need to do a better job offensively, you know, putting up crooked numbers. So,
what challenge did Pimente present to you guys early in the game?
He's got an interesting mix of pitches. It's that high slot cutter that it's just he did a nice job of being around the zone tonight. And hats up to him. He did a nice job, and we didn't do what we were hoping to do.
And really, this whole month you've been swinging the bat a lot better. What do you feel like has just been the biggest adjustment, you know, for you at the plate?
Just trying to be me. And not trying to add too much pressure to it, and just trying to, you know, take a deep breath, go have good at bats, and try to help the team any way I can, and not try to do too much, and just, you know, like I was really happy with the first at bat tonight, going the other way on the ground, hit it pretty good. I felt like that set me up for a pretty good night. I just want to, you know, stay right where I am.
Yeah, he did hit that ball pretty well in the first inning. Again, Jonathan India is on second base with nobody out. Bobby hits a rocket right at Nolan Arenado. And then Vinny, yeah, first pitch he saw a 101-mile-per-hour smoke show to the third baseman. And unfortunately, it's that third baseman, one of the greatest defensive third basemen of all time, and he was a vacuum over there for the first two frames. Vinny Pasquantino, 1-for-4 on the night. Vinny has 5 extra base hits in his 15 games this month. Pasquantino batting .299 in May. Let's go to Sean in Overland Park. Sean, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Sean. Hey, yeah, this is Sean. Vern, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Vern, I'm good. Hey, love the show. You always bring more color and more insight into your understanding of the game. I'm a longtime baseball fan, but I just love what you were saying with the first caller. I want to say I know tonight was a rough game. I was out there at the K with my fam. Nice. But I am encouraged just in terms of the long-term trajectory of what's going on with the Royals. I think this owner wants to win, but more important than that is what JJ's doing in the front office. I am just astounded and excited about the 5 starters we have this season, mm-hmm. and how he went and found those starters, put them on this roster. We had them last summer. They're kind of running it back this summer. And now we have 4 guys in the bullpen with just awesome ERA. Mm-hmm. Really encouraged by that. And, I mean, Bob, second year of a 10-year deal.
Let's go.
Bob's awesome, and I love watching him over there at short. So, in general, I know tonight was just kind of a tough 9 innings of some ugly baseball, but that is maybe the worst Royals game we had this summer. But that means all the good ones are yet to come. And anyway, I'll part with this, Vern. you struck me out on three strikes 3 years ago, and I've never lived that down with my friends and family. So,
yeah,
kudos to you on that.
You got to call into the pitch clock. We got a new game. It's only one question.
I really do.
You can beat that one.
Yeah, but anyway, I do love this team, and I feel like the foundation of what we're doing in the front office to get the players in the locker room on this 25-man roster, we're doing it right, and I think we're building something better than we used to be building. So,
hey, great.
I'll hang up and listen off the air. Thanks, Vern.
Yeah. Thank you. Again, talking about, he mentions three strikes, the old trivia game we used to play on the pregame show. Now it's an easier game. It's called the pitch clock. We play it each and every game day, 1 hour before first pitch. It gives you the opportunity to win some Royals tickets. So if that interests you, make sure you're listening 1 hour before first pitch right here on 96.5 The Fan or on your phone on the Odyssey app. So tomorrow, be listening at 5 o'clock for the On Deck Show and your chance to win some Royals tickets. All right, let's stay in Overland Park. Talk with Spencer. You're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead. Spencer.
Hey, Vern. Hey. I was at the game tonight with some of my buddies. Tough loss, but I agree with what that one guy said earlier about the inconsistent bullpen, but that is just baseball. I just had a question. I looked at the scoreboard tonight and saw we only had three less hits than the Cardinals, and it just seems like we're never really getting that timely hit. I just want to know, is that something you think we'll start to see more of throughout the middle and end of the season, or is that a real problem?
Well, we'll see. You know, that's the question. You know, that is the question. If this team's going to win the division, that right there, Spencer, is the question. Because if the answer is no, if things do not turn around in that department, they could still possibly find their way into October, but they're not going to achieve their first goal of winning the American League Central. Now, looking at it right now, following tonight's 10-3 loss at the hands of the Cardinals, game one of the I-70 series, they actually had four more hits than the Royals. Cardinals had 13, Royals with 9. Thanks for the phone call. Looking at the numbers so far this season, Royals hitting with runners in scoring position. Royals have the second worst OPS in Major League Baseball. Only the incredibly disappointing Baltimore Orioles have a worse mark. Yeah, Rockies and White Sox, both with a higher, much higher OPS than the Royals with runners in scoring position. Now, keep in mind, last year, Vinny and Bobby were two of the five best hitters in Major League Baseball when it came to those scenarios. Hitting with runners in scoring position, hitting with man on third, less than two outs, all of those situations, the Royals were, or those two in particular, Vinny and Bobby, you know, Salvi was still top 20, but Vinny and Bobby were top five in baseball this season. That hasn't been the case. Certainly Bobby's still a stud. Vinny leads the team in home runs, leads the team in RBI, but just taking a look at the latest numbers around Major League Baseball, any Royal, nobody in the top 25 for the Royals. And last year they had three of the top 25. You know, Bobby right now 27th in Major League Baseball with an OPS of .955 with runners in scoring position. Do I think it's going to turn around? Listen. You know, Vinny punched out again tonight looking with a man in scoring position. That's very undeniable Vinny Pasquantino of him. Yeah, I've said with Salvi, and I'm not saying anything that the Royals don't already know, but I don't know how fair it's going to be in the second half of the season to ask a 35-year-old to hit cleanup every single day. Not if he's catching as well. But I also don't believe that this organization is going to sit on its hands going into the deadline. 2 years ago, they needed some pitching depth, and they went out and found Cole Reagans. Last year, they needed some bullpen help. They needed a closer. They went out and found Lucas Ursek. Right now, this team needs a Kendrys Morales, right? This team needs a 4-5 hitter. I expect them to go find one. So to your question of will this turn around, it better. Because I don't believe the starting pitching can carry the team the way that it has or the way that it did in the month of April. I don't know if you can do that again for another month. But I also didn't think that the rotation could do what they've already done. I didn't think this rotation could be better than last year's. Maybe as good. No way would they be better. 46 games into the season, they've been better. But we're only 46 games into the season. 116 to play. Lugo's banged up. Reagans is banged up. I'll let you take care of the rest. Let's go to Mike in Kansas City. Mike, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think the Royals probably will make the playoffs, but if they don't start, they don't hit when they get in the playoffs, they won't go very far. And then also, when is this team going to start hitting? And then when is Hunter Harvey coming back?
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the phone call, Mike. We're hoping for good news with Hunter Harvey. I believe he's going to throw a bullpen tomorrow and then maybe another on Monday. So he's been gone long enough that he's going to necessitate a rehab assignment. So I would venture to guess that he's at least a couple of weeks away. And Mike, I agree with your astute observation of if the offense doesn't score runs, they will not win in October. Couldn't agree more. My game notes following this 7-run defeat at the hands of the Redbirds. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Let's head back inside that Royals clubhouse. That Royals clubhouse that, mind you, is still 4 games above 500. Has the chance to even up this series coming up tomorrow night right here at Kauffman Stadium. But let's head inside that clubhouse. Let's hear what Cole Reagans had to say after exiting this game after the fifth inning. Well, I guess he faced one batter in the sixth and then left due to left growing tightness. Let's hear what he had to say to the media as our Kramer Sansone was there.
Right. Cole, first and foremost, how are you feeling right now?
Just growing tightness. Kind of the same as last time. So just stiffened up on me a little bit in the fifth and then didn't get loose in the sixth.
How did that kind of impact you on the mound trying to make some pitches?
I just couldn't use my legs. So obviously affects, you know, anything rotating, lower half, that kind of stuff.
And would you say it's more of like a pain or a discomfort?
Just discomfort, tightness. Yeah.
Overall, when you look at your start, how did you evaluate it?
Felt like I filled up the zone. You know, no walks was big. Left a few pitches over the plate. You know, a couple sliders that Contreras and Donovan hit pretty hard. Heater to Contreras there. I think that was at the third. Trying to go in there, missed away. Made a double down the line. So, just not very sharp, but in the zone.
And the second time this month, you know, that's happened. Just how frustrating, you know, is that for you?
Very, obviously. Kind of, you know, not able to be myself out there, have my best stuff. So, yeah, very frustrating.
Cole Reagans takes the loss. Again, 5 innings, 4 runs on 5 hits. He mentioned no walks to go along with 7 strikeouts. Royals lose 10-3. Cole Reagans suffers back-to-back losses for just the second time in his career. We go to Justin in Oklahoma City. Justin, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey. Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. Good to talk to you tonight. Obviously, I'm disappointed in the loss tonight. You know, I'm always positive, but, you know, and but I'm not going to lie and say I don't have some concerns about, you know, Cole getting hurt. I believe he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. But I'm a little concerned about the inconsistency of, you know, the starting pitching. I mean, Cole's had a couple bad outings, rough outings in his last 2 starts. One start I was at, the Boston series. And then tonight, obviously, I don't know if he's dealing with injury, but you know, you may be right. Maybe you send him down for a couple weeks, miss a couple
of
starts.
No, I never said send him down.
If anything, put him on the IL.
Set him down.
Gotcha. I'm sorry. Gotcha. Set him down. No, yes, sir. And then
it's that Oklahoma City twang. My bad.
And then, you know, as far as the hitting goes, and you know, outside of Bobby, Michael, and you know, I know Vinny's, I mean, are you concerned a little bit with the inconsistency of the rest of the play, rest of the hitting? I mean, I'm including Vinny, you know, but I mean, Michael's been, I mean, every time I look at the stats and when I watch him play, I mean, he's hitting the ball pretty well. I mean, obviously Bobby Witt's going to do his thing. But other than that, I mean, you know, most of the hitting so far this year has been a little inconsistent, you know, and the bullpen's given up a tremendous amount of runs. You know, I'm not trying to be negative Nancy, but, you know,
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, Justin, I appreciate the phone call. I understand what you're saying, but again, the bullpen wasn't as bad as the final line would indicate if Jonathan India turns a double play, four runs are not scored. 6-3 loss. Or maybe it's, you know, 3-2 or a 3-3 game and we're still playing. India makes that play in the sixth inning. It's 3-2 Cardinals going to the bottom of the sixth. Who knows how that game turns out? So I feel like you guys are being a touch too rough on the bullpen. Now, offensively, yeah, sure. Of course, I'm aware of the inconsistencies of this offense. Now, I will note all offenses are inconsistent. That's why if you bat 300, you're outstanding, even though you're failing 70% of the time. You know, Michael Garcia tonight, 2-for-4, his team-leading 15th multi-hit game. Michael's hitting a even 300 for the season. He's one of only 17 big leaguers. Qualified big leaguers, he's one of only 17 hitting 300 or better. All offenses go up and down. All hitters, you know, save half a dozen of them, go up and down. You know, Bobby's a freak. Bobby's the best player on the planet. So his slumps, I mean, he doesn't really have slumps. He's too fast. He's too talented. He hits the ball too hard, hustles too much. But every other player on the planet, really. Okay, Shohei. I don't know. Jose Ramirez. Again, it's a very select few that don't have ebbs and flows over the course of a season. I mean, we've been watching it with Salvi for a decade plus. He'll carry the team for a month and then chase that slider away for the next month. But with the offense, you know, we and I do it too. We all do it. Now, the offense, I'm disappointed with the offense. We talk about them as if it's one being. But I don't think anybody is frustrated with Bobby or disappointed in Bobby or Michael or Drew Waters or Freddie Fermin. You know, Kevin Biggio, is that a guy that's keeping you up at night? No, of course not. Well, Jonathan India, yeah, you need more from him. You need him to be the guy that we've seen of late. Right? You're getting on base a couple of times every single night. You're hitting less fly balls than you were in the month of April. Yeah, you need more from India. You need Vinny to not punch out the way that he has. You need him to come through with runners in scoring position. You need Salvi to be better, no doubt. But those are the names. It begins with India, Vinny, and Salvi, and Bobby. This team and this offense is only going as far as those four lead them. Of course, they need help, but they must lead. At least until late June. Until reinforcements can be found via a trade. Until then, those four got to lead the way. And Lord knows Bobby's doing all he can. He's batting .316. That's the seventh best average in the sports. He has the fourth most base hits. The fifth most extra base hits, as tonight he picked up his third triple of the season and career triple number 31, matching Gerard Dyson for 13th on the franchise's all-time list. All right, let's go to Mark in Prairie Village. Mark, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm enjoying your show tonight.
Thanks.
First, to start with a couple positive comments. That triple by Bobby Witt Jr., that was exciting to watch. And then to see Salvi score him, if I recall, on a sharply hit ball. You know, on a weekend when we're talking about some of the old-timers coming back, the old and the new, it was just exciting to see with the triple and then knocked in by Salvi, sort of the older guy who was around in 2015 and the future of the franchise was a good thing to see. The other, it was disappointing out there. Obviously, that sixth inning was tough, but it actually, as a side comment, it was a beautiful evening out at the Kauffman Stadium. The cool breeze, I was surprised how breezy it was, but temperature was great. And a reminder, what a beautiful stadium we have at a time when we're talking about a new stadium. It's just to remark on how much fun it was being out there. But as far as the negative, two things. That blown double play was tough to watch. I mean, anybody can make a mistake. That was not a difficult double play to turn. You know, that was not a slow grounder, a slow rolling ball where you had to rush the play, not at all. Nor was it a sharply hit ball. That was,
right.
Was
or make the play at first. Bobble it, take the easy out at first base. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's right. That was also a misjudgment. That's a good point. I forgot about that. But that was the kind of ball hit to second base. If you're in batting practice and the batting instructor was trying to just practice double plays, that's how he hit the ball to the second baseman. One hop, not sharply hit, but not a slow roller. It was a tough play to watch. I feel optimistic for the reasons many other people have said, cautiously optimistic. I think the Royals bats, you know, hitting's a funny thing. They've got the bats to do better than they're doing right now. I know I'm generalizing. By and large, a pitching staff is not going to get a whole lot better than what its talent is, and they've got a good pitching staff. The hitting may come around, and if they get another hitter, like you say, they have gone out, they've gotten pitching, they've got, you know, it's a fine front office. I think that the bats they've got with one other hitter in the middle of the lineup could make a huge difference. And one just final gripe. I lived in St. Louis for 13 years. You made a comment early on in this show about, you know, some feelings that the fans here have about the St. Louis Cardinal organization and their fans. And I don't want to sound too harsh because I had 13 good years in, you know, St. Louis. And it was really disturbing to me in the middle of that sixth inning when the Cardinals were scoring all those runs. They started chanting, "Let's go Royals, let's go Royals," to rub it in, you know. Really, there was a lot of fans. Royal fans don't do that when we go to a St. Louis. And it really just rubbed me the wrong way to hear a few thousand people. There were a lot of St. Louis fans there tonight, a lot of Royals fans too. But for the St. Louis fans to start yelling, let's go Royals, right during those five or six runs that were being scored, it was just, I don't know. It did rub me.
I didn't pick up on that. I didn't notice. I didn't notice that it wasn't Royals fans with the "Let's Go Royals" chant. Interesting.
Well, I can't swear to it, but why would Royals fans be doing that in the middle of that big scoring spree by St. Louis?
They have done that. Once, you know, when the other team starts to cheer, they try to drown them out, but then it just comes across as desperate. Who knows? I don't know.
Either way,
it came from a good place if it was a Royals fan saying it.
Okay, well, you know. Right. I think it was Cardinals fans trying to make fun of the "Let's Go Royals" when we were sort of falling apart there.
That's quite the troll, and, then.
It felt that way to me. And by the way, I sort of agree with the sense of your comment. Maybe only one of those runs was earned, but all four of those, in a common sense way, those were unearned runs. That inning should have ended right there. And I forget the minutiae of scorekeeping as to why. There's a reason, I'm sure, why most of those runs were...
Because you can't assume the double play.
Oh, okay, you can't assume... Okay, right. Good point. But hey, good show. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you. I love your voice. You got a great voice, Mark. Let's go to Kyle in Pittsburgh. You're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead. Oh, we lost Kyle. Come on, Kyle. Oh, we do have him. Okay. All right. Kyle, I apologize. I almost lost it on you. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Hey, long-time listener. First time calling the post-game show.
All right. Thank you.
I got some questions on the roster construction. With Noah Cameron coming up tomorrow, and Wonka being back, is that end of Renfro? Or, I mean, how long are we going to hold three catchers?
I would say Luke Maley will probably be on his way out.
Okay. I didn't know how long they're holding the spot for. I feel like it's kind of having three catchers and only using two. I mean, right. With roster construction, is that like Taylor Clark out the door? I mean, if Reagans is really hurt tonight, then I just wanted your opinion, I guess.
Well, no, they're a pitcher down because today Taylor Clark went on the paternity list to make room for Dairon Blanco. So they have
right.
14 position players and 12 pitchers. So when they add Noah Cameron tomorrow, they'll likely subtract a position player, and I believe that'll be Luke Maley. But we'll see. Hopefully everybody sleeps well.
I was just curious how long it was going to be because Renfro hasn't been playing as much, and I didn't know how long the string was going to be. You know, we're getting closer to June, and and I didn't know. I just wanted your opinion on it.
Yeah, that's what I think the move will be tomorrow.
Okay. Well, thanks,
Kyle. I appreciate it, man. Nice to hear from you.
Yep,
Royals drop game one to the Cardinals, 10-3, the final score. They've now dropped five of the last six, but they remain four games above 500, and they hand the ball to the aforementioned 25-year-old rookie tomorrow, Noah Cameron on the hill. It's a 6:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show. If you're on hold, stay right there. We take a very quick timeout. We'll get right back to your phone calls as your boys in blue now in fourth place in the American League Central, which I know sounds awful, but they have the sixth best record in the American League, fourth best record in their own division. It's a wild time. We'll get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show, brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods, delivering all natural foods direct to families since 1958. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com. Make sure to subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast channel to stay up to date with your boys in blue. This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to five times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit Game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
And welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
So hard it just turned him completely around. Now he busts one out in the deep right center field, and that's going to be off the wall and extra bases for Witt. He's already at second base, and he's going to glide into third with a stand-up triple.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's the great Denny Matthews. He's already at second base. Man, there aren't many things, and this is just me being a nerd, but I know there are nerds out there. It's 11:05 on a Friday night. The Royals just got their brains beat in. If you're listening right now, you're pretty close to being a baseball nerd, a Royals nerd. There aren't many images I enjoy being present for more so than Bobby rounding second, and he gets that like right arm almost serving as a windmill to redirect him towards third base because he's moving at such a breakneck speed. I'd put that still shot of Bobby rounding second, I'd put that right there with Salvi making that play in front of the plate that he's made so often where he bare hands the ball into the ground, kind of grinds it into the ground as he pirouettes and throws a strike to first. I'd put that play from Salvi in there. Alex Gordon crashing into the wall in left field, that play's in there. We saw that so many times, right? He crashes into the wall, falls back onto his back, and just kind of takes it in for a moment, we'd all hold our breath and go, oh no, did he just break his hip? Nope, he's fine. I put that up there. And then Mike Moustakas, you know, when they go around the horn to start the game, and he, you know, I always think of him throwing the ball to Yordano Ventura, giving a little words of encouragement to the young right-hander. Now, that moment right before first pitch, I always loved Moose with the little, let's go get him. You know, a little encouragement to whoever was on the bump. Yeah, Bobby's a sight to behold. 2-for-4 tonight, his batting average now 316. Royals lose. They're 4 games above 500, and they hand the ball to Noah Cameron coming up tomorrow. Let's go to Larry in Kansas City. Larry, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing today, Vern?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right. Hey, I wanted to point something out about your point you were making earlier in the show about how pitching has changed. I was looking at some old-time statistics, and in 1964, Bob Gibson pitched 287 innings. The website I was on also gave the players salaries for that year, and Bob Gibson made $30,000 in 1964. He pitched 287 innings. Now, I'm sure that back in those days, I'm sure he was working on a one-year contract.
Of course.
If Bob Gibson were pitching today, the Cardinals would have $100 million invested in his arm. I mean, that's, you're right. It's just teams have to be very careful. So I read that a couple days ago, and I wanted to bring that up. Well,
let me get you one right back. Stay right there. Okay, so you said he made $30,000 for the season.
Right.
Okay, so I just looked at Seth Lugo, and I'm not trying to pick on Seth Lugo. He's outstanding. Everybody loves Seth Lugo. He makes $15 million this year. Let's say he throws 200 innings. That's $75,000 an inning. Bob Gibson's getting 30, getting more than, less than half of that for an entire season. Wow. That's something else, man. $25,000 an out.
The game has changed so much since I was a kid. It's just, it's remarkable.
Yeah,
but I still enjoy it, so that's good.
Oh, I'm with you. Thanks for the research, Larry. Thanks for adding something to the show, man. I appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. Take care.
Yeah, you do the same. Cole Reagans, he's lasted 6 innings only twice this season. That's 9 starts. His ERA is 4.53. That's worse than a quality start. But again, he's barely given you 5 innings every time he takes the ball. What's shocking about it is that despite the fact that through 9 starts, he's only tossed 45 2/3 innings. But in those 45 innings, Cole Reagans has 72 strikeouts, 4th most in baseball, and 1 shy of Zach Greinke's strikeout mark through 9 starts back in 2009. Now, Greinke's 09 season was the only season this franchise has seen where someone punches more tickets than Cole Reagans has so far this year. Spike in St. Joe, yeah, man, nice seeing you earlier today. I see you writing in on the text line. I've missed your text. Haven't seen you long enough. Always appreciate the gift that you bring. It's unnecessary, but I greatly appreciate it. And I see you're frustrated with the designated hitter. Confused as to why the DH is hitting .185. Well, you know, lefty bat in Kevin Biggio. You'll face a lefty coming up on Sunday. I don't know if the DH will be Mark Canna or Hunter Renfro, but I would expect Mark Canna to be in the lineup coming up on Sunday against Matthew Liberatore. Tomorrow's another righty with Miles Michaelis. I don't know exactly if he has reverse splits or not, so maybe Biggio's back in there tomorrow. We'll see. Biggio tonight, 1-for-4, had that 2-out double in the second inning, his first double of the year. 913-586-7965. Josh in North Kansas City says Kyle Isbell doesn't get enough recognition. Josh, I know it feels that way, but I, next to Bobby and Salvi, I think Kyle Isbell might be Royals fans' third favorite player, and for good reason. He's a gamer. tough, tenured, well, the second longest tenured Royal behind Salvador Perez, so he's been here for a minute. Izzy tonight with that one-out triple, he would come around to score the Royals' second run in that fifth inning, and Izzy's been on a tear. He's really having a terrific season for a nine-hitter. He's batting .344 in the month of May, has 11 hits, almost half of them have been extra base hits. So I get that a lot, Josh, and I understand why you're saying it, but I don't think he needs, well, maybe on this show he needs more recognition. Okay, I can get with that. Izzy's batting .358 at Kauffman Stadium this season. But I know my neighbor loves Kyle Isbell. We had that event out at, I can't think of that casino right now. The casino out Kansas, right by the Speedway. Why can't I think of it? Well, whatever. Thanks to them. Really appreciate their support. I'm sorry I can't remember your name, but we had an event out there, and everyone wanted to see Kyle Isbell. Kyle Isbell is a Kansas City Royals ball player. He is a Midwestern ball player where, no, he's not going to get the headlines. He's not going to get the attention outside of Kansas City, but he's our guy. One of those guys where we can talk bad about him, we can question him here and there, but if you dare say anything about Kyle Isbell, we're going to jump down your throat. Let's go to Kevin in Olathe. You're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, I got a question. I'm not as familiar with other teams in the league, but one of my favorite players from the 2015 was Vin Zobrist. What a great acquisition.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anybody like that that could be available around the trade deadline?
If there is, he's going to be incredibly expensive because, as you know, Zobrist could play just about every position outside of pitcher and catcher.
Correct.
You know, and that's why he ended up getting a 70-some-odd million-dollar deal after that 2015 World Championship. I don't believe currently, you know, being only 46 games into the season, because there's only four teams that clearly suck, I don't think a player of that ilk is on the market just yet.
Yeah,
I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I don't believe
so.
Oh, no doubt. He was the MVP of the postseason, in my opinion, in 2015.
Yeah, absolutely love that guy. I just wanted to get your opinion.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I would love every team would love a Ben Zobrist.
Yep.
You know, most of the guys that are – yeah, thank you for the phone call, Kevin. Most of the guys that are being discussed, most teams could find a spot for – the talent of Luis Robert. I don't know enough about the person or his desire to necessarily wave the flag for J.J. Piccolo to go out and acquire the White Sox outfielder. You know, Cedric Mullins of the Orioles, are they willing to wave the white flag? Because you'd love him, but again, who wouldn't want Cedric Mullins on their team? Who wouldn't want that personality, that defender and that lefty bat on their team? But no, the Ben Zobrist, again, a switch hitter that can play second and third, left and right, can hit first, second, or third. I mean, how many guys are like that in the big leagues? Period. Let alone, are they available? I'll tell you what, if there's a bad team out there and they have a Ben Zobrist, trading him is not going to make you any better. If you have him under years of control, you might want to hang on to him and build around him, to be honest. Kevin, I appreciate the phone call. Royals lose 10-3, but we are, because we're forced to, we will turn the page. You get ready for game two of this three-game series, the I-70 series, which picks up in St. Louis coming up in just over a week and a half from now. But tomorrow, it's Noah Cameron squaring off with Miles Michaelis. It's a 6:10 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5 o'clock right here at Kauffman Stadium, right here in my very fancy booth. Thanks again to the Royals for giving me such fancy digs. Got the Hal McRae jersey, the Paul Splittorff jersey, the Whitey Herzog jersey. I'll tell you what, I'll be honest and I'll put it on record. When I get fired, I'm taking this Whitey Herzog jersey. If you're listening, you're one of like 10 people that'll ever know that, but I'm stealing this jersey when I get canned. Blake Schneiders, thanks for the help back at the studio. Appreciate y'all listening. We'll do it again tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Friday night. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's Postgame Show.
On to the track, leaps, it's gone! Michael Massey ambushes the first pitch!
Brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can too. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com.
Junior makes a catch, a tag, and a throw, and out at home plate.
To hear more from Vern during the week, tune in to Fesco and Dusty on Monday at 8:20, Cody and Gold on Wednesday at 12:30, and The Drive on Fridays at 3. This is your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.